This session is on training for new missionaries with Masahiro Takata.
This is the seminar that we do it just advised to the missionary training. And so what is the mission? Is kind of just definitions. And coming from the, later I'll give you a handout, but not at this point. definition of missionary. The one from the one book called the Leading Across Cultures, Effective Ministries and Mission in the Global Church. There are lots of definitions that I chose from here. Most missionaries are neither spiritual giants nor destroyers of culture. They go out from every country in the world. They have a unique calling, and they are not defined by whether they raise hope or not. A missionary is anyone from any country who leaves home in order to proclaim the gospel, usually in another culture. That's coming from the book. The author is James E. Plugman. And that book name is Leading Across Culture. And the mission, the person who crossed culture. And of course, for missions or to proclaim the gospels in the different cultural setting, of course you have to have academic trainings or special skills to be trained. But this is not the time to talk about theological trainings or others. So more likely is how you survive or how you can survive in the mission field. How you should prepare yourself to be able to survive in the culture that different from your own. So that says that cross-cultural workers mean that you leave your home, you're comfortable, you leave behind your comfortableness. You know, you leave the family, you leave your friends, favorite foods, maybe. And, you know, it's just the first time you go and cross the culture, you may pack your something very important thing, you know. Maybe you think that you never see those in different parts of the world. But in fact, these days, I mean, you can find everything when you come to Japan. We have Starbucks, of course, McDonald's. So, so in Japan, you can find everything, but you don't know.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oatmeal. That's Costco. If you go there, you can find everything. In Tokyo, Chiba, the big cities, you can find Costco. In Japan, we say Costco. So Costco. But first of all, I have several paperwork, but I mean not a handout, but you know, we'd like to think about just together, just, you know, what will come first in your mind as you come to Japan as a missionary, you know, just what you think you want to be prepared, and what you want to know before you come to, and to be able to survive or in a cross-cultural setting. What do you think? What would be the most, for yourself, what would be your most important things to prepare before you leave? At this moment.
Knowing the language?
Knowing language.
Understanding culture?
Understanding culture. Yeah. knowing language. And then most missionaries, come in across the culture. And for me, for myself, I went to Indonesia. For my first assignment as Bible translator. So I was supposed to be the linguist. And I went to the village and I studied the language in the unwritten language group. So, supposed to be the expert of the language, but struggled. But we, as all missionaries, most of the missionaries, when you come to the different parts of the world, you may not be fluent in the language that you are going to be. And so, what will be most important factor, to learn the new language? What do you think?
Listen, be with Japanese people.
Yeah. Listen, and be in. Dan-san is coming from the Presbyterian. He doesn't want to use the immersion, the word maybe.
For this case, we'll use it.
Yeah, okay. Cross-culture situation. You have to be immersed in the culture. And that means you have to know how to swim or, maneuver the culture that you are not familiar. All right? And so the motivation is most fundamental key factor. You want to be a friend, or you want to share something with others through the mostly the verbal communication. So that's why we need to learn the language. To learn language, we have to, of course, you can go to the classroom, but in a classroom situation, it's not going to be a real language. And so in real language, you have to immerse the cultures, immerse the situation. And so you have to have courage to do that. So not to be introvert, but just an extrovert. So extrovert person may be a good language learner. So be a good language learner is that how you know how to make a friend, how to be a friend with others. And learning culture. In introduction, I'll say that. One time, Japanese loves noodle. Japanese love noodle. If you go in a restaurant, it's easy to find a ramen noodle shop, udon noodle shop, and all kinds of noodle you can enjoy. And of course, we have an etiquette and a manner to eat food. Of course, for the regular meals, we are not allowed to make a noise. But only the time we eat noodle, we are allowed to make a noise. Sip. But it's not the culture. Even Chinese and maybe Korean. A Korean would be allowed to do that. But, even in Asian, in the Philippines or others, they not used to, but only in Japan and Korean culture, we allowed to, have a noise when we eat. And my I became a member of Wycliffe, and I had already two girls, and all this was almost 3 years old. So we have already, you know, just giving her meals and on the tables. Then suddenly, we took, as parents, we took her to the different culture. You know, she's not aware of where she was, where she is, and then suddenly in a different culture. And we started attending classes, and so my daughter had to be in child care, in American child care. And my daughter was given some snacks, you know, something, drink, you know, but just my daughter only knows how the Japanese do. And so she hold the plates to eat, and the child care teacher says, don't do that. And she cried. And so she, you know, that was her first culture shock. So when we cross the culture, then we are immersed to the unfamiliar situation, and you're stressed. And you experience a lot of cross-culture shock. And those piles up pile up lots of stresses. So, stress can come from the stress and the stress as stages of the missionary life. So as you come and cross the culture to be a missionary as cross-cultural workers, you know how to manage the stress and stresses. Because in our daily life, even you are here, in your home countries, in your most comfortable situation, still you have stress. You are every day, you are experiencing some degree of stress. But when you come to the, or you cross the culture, and if you are expected to do something different, your stress is maybe 6 times or 10 times more. But many people do not aware of such a stress level and make you really, you know, in depressed. So we need to know how to manage the stress. So for the training, if you think and just each one of you as you become a missionary, maybe independent, but most of you come through the agencies or mission agency, most of the agency have, you know, training program and also member care people to care. So coming to the, you know, just if the church, individual church send missionaries to the other side of the world, they have to think about, have someone to care about those situations. So that's very important. Someone who cares, someone who can be the mentor. Those are very important. And to before you leave your home and you change your role. And you experience in the different culture, you experience the loneliness. And for my case, we were in Indonesia or Philippines, and lots of unrest at the political. Hopefully, in Japan, we may not have such, but at this moment, we don't know. China is really, you know, press Japanese political situation. Or we have some political situation with Koreans, and you know, island issues is always. I don't know what North Korea is now. They have a nuclear weapon with the missile. So we never say that just any dangerous or anything political situation. We'll be separated from the very familiar thing. Yeah, so those factors make a very, stress. So there are external factors, internal factors to, make such a big stress. So how you each one of us have to aware and to know what will be the best way you can manage the stress. That it's a margin. We have how much we can have. Yeah. Okay. So really how much, of course when you write paper and you have a certain margin, and if you go to the class and the professor says that you have to have certain margin in a particular pages, right? So how for our life also, we have to keep the margin for us to be able to, manage the stress. So, like us, been in Indonesia or Philippines, sometimes we find McDonald's and our kids' eyes open and they can satisfy. And so, something, you need to find some, in your familiar place, and you need to know what would be the best way for you to, make you relax. So that's a very, external factor will be the base of life, over choice, physical environment, every situation, circumstances, environment make you bigger stress. And so making a stress is very important. To manage the stress, stress is very important. One of the very interesting comment we have, Rodin and Keeley, that's a very old one, but the history of international development effort is strong with the wreckage of many development projects. One of the major conclusions that emerges from this history is a lack, and not of the technical skills, but of interpersonal and intercultural adaptation skills. So these days, world has become smaller and smaller, and technologies, developed, and IT technologies and infrastructures have changed a lot. 30 years ago, we went to the Indonesia into the jungle, for instance. No way to connect with outside, so we have to bring up, just a big shortwave radio. But now we have a satellite systems. Almost anywhere we are able to connect through the internet resources. So, but world is coming very small, and everyone thinks that you can manage everything in anywhere, and you think that you know everything. So when we had the new missionaries, younger generation come, they thought they can survive without program. But in fact, many of them have experienced a severe culture shock. And also, sometimes they will not be able to survive in the mission field for a period of time because of lack of interpersonal skills and also intercultural skills. So, like Paul said, that knowing the culture and also how you can maneuver in the different, to be able to survive in the different culture. So that's a very important one. So the handout that I would like to give you later is says that the one good thing that the person with the interpersonal skills in his or her home culture would be a natural in a cross-cultural setting. So we think that even if we have such a good skills, you know, maybe, you know, these kind of people might be easier to handle those in different culture and in a different setting. However, there is some evidence to suggest that the interpersonally open and the skilled person, although most successful in transferring skills and knowledge to nationals, was also the one likely to experience the severest culture shock. So, because interpersonally skilled people are very sensitive to the others. And sensitive means that you feel different and you experience this and you are. So, as I said, that the world is supposedly growing smaller. People are exposed to different parts of the world through the new media, education, rapid transportation, etc. Therefore, one would think that new personnel from the sending countries would have an easier time adjusting to work in the receptive society. But the people ethnocentric, judgmental, and rigid often experiences the least culture shock, but are also ineffective on a professional basis. So, when I was doing a mission training program in the Philippines for our WICRF, a young new couple came to my program because they were assigned to Asia to begin the ministry, their own ministry. When they came in to attend this cross-cultural training program, they thought it is a wasting time because 3 months and 4 months, they have to go again what they have learned before in the classroom setting. So when they saw the curriculum, and wow, you know, they went through, and their major was, the major that they went through was cross-cultural communication and others. So they thought, you know, just I know, or we know everything. Why did you ask to be in? Oh, yeah, because organization require you to do. And so, you know, they frustrated. But they had to be with us, and they went through. But all the time, they were so frustrated. Only 1 year after, we heard that they had to go home because such a rigidness, character, were not able to adjust even in the culture. They are professional in his knowledge or their knowledge. They know, they knew how to do it. What would be their issues in this? But in a real setting, immersed cultural setting, it's a different story. So it's really needs to aware, really. So keys to success as a mission and a cross-cultural worker is to develop interpersonal and intercultural adaptation skills and to have a sensitiveness to the people and the culture. That's a very basic requirement for those who are going to prepare themselves or yourself to be a mission. So we have, when you come to, or when you think about Japan, you have your own perception about Japan, your stereotype to the, particular to Japan, as we think about, missions to Japan. So we have, but the perception and stereotyping and ethnocentrism, those very strongly affect our attitude. So that's very important. What? So this is different one. So anyway, that's fine. Maybe I'll go. It's better to have now?
Yeah.
Okay. So culture. We need to study, and we need to know that what is a culture and how you can maneuver in a different culture. So culture is the sum total of ways of living. So we have a way of living. American have your own living. By the way, when I started to be a field train course, just a cross-cultural train program, and many American new missionaries came to my program. And so for us, America first, America was America. America is America. And so, I never started to think about just, okay, where you come from, you're American. You come from America. But they start to say, I come from West, and I come from, Eastern, Northern, South. And so even in your country, it's not just America. And then Canadian, they always put their own flag and they want to be identified. And, and of course, then West to East, different culture. And so that's the very different where you come from. And we also need to aware where you come from and what background and so on. So, culture has been developed where you live, how you live. And coming to cross culture means that you almost, just leave those behind and to start to adapt the new, just a new cultural norms. You have to study and you have to experience, and then you have to adapt the new cultures and the norms. But so culture is the sum total of ways of living, including values and beliefs and ethnic standards, linguistics, expression, patterns of thinking, behavioral norms, and the style of communication, which a group of people has developed to assure its survival in a particular physical and human environment. So everyone, in each culture. If you come to Japan, Tokyo has a different, unique. And if you go to Kansai, then they have another uniqueness. if you come to Tohoku, and, you know, different. And we think Japan is just the one stereotype we have. But as you think, west, east, north, and south, we are different. Japan, even small country, you know, just in one day you can go north to the south. But we are different in different place. Culture, no, we have same. So that's a kind of awareness we have to aware. We to build that different awareness. And so communication difficulties can occur when difference in culture and the background lead to misunderstanding. So different, you know, if we are not aware of such differences, even we do, you know, just communication is kind of a, you know, we encode the sign. And then someone in a different culture, we need to decode. And so encode and decode process, you know, just that if we have a wrong information or different perception or stereotype, then wrong meaning of a stereotype, if we do have, we make a different and wrong decode. That means miscommunication happen at all current. So that's the most important part that we really just encourage that, you know, just that missionary, you know, just, I mean, applicants to know. And if you are the trainer, and yeah, you have to aware of those. These potential applicants as mystery applicants need to be aware of those. So, Dan-san and your particular, just do you have anything you can share about just for particularly new mysteries and newcomers tonight?
I was thinking what you said about calling it stress, not shock. That I would say after 26 years and watching many young and new missionaries come, young and old, it's not culture shock. It's culture stress.
Culture stress.
It's the dripping constant, and it gets more difficult over time. To your list of things, I would add children's education, stress, what to do with children, Satan's attack. It is spiritual warfare. He doesn't want us there. Related to the perfectionism you had there listed, maybe I would call it achievement idols. I was a Marine, U.S. Marine captain, and all of a sudden I'm a baby and I can't do anything. My idols, heart idols of wanting to achieve and be successful, really lead to stress rather than my name is written in heaven. You know, Jesus, don't rejoice that the kingdom comes, rejoice that your name is written in heaven, because often there will not be the success and achievement of being in your own culture. And so to be secure in Christ and your identity, not in the work. And another one is that I think you mentioned having mentors and people. I would say the team, doing things as a team, really helps with that. But there's a negative too, that it's easy, instead of being immersed and having a little time with your team, to have a lot of time with your team and not be immersed. And then, so it's the negative of team. I think if people give in to too much time with their team over 2, 3, 4 years, especially the first years when your best language learning years are at the beginning, really, like you said, just motivated, committed. This has to capture you to learn the language, you know. And you need a little team time for refreshment, English fellowship, you know. And we see many people, we've seen on our team, I think that the negative of team, they don't immerse themselves and they don't learn the language. Then they have more culture stress long term because they didn't learn the language, you know. So that's think one of the things. So one of the, I know an Asian Access lady researched that it takes 8 years for American Western folks to adapt to Japan. And sadly, so many people quit at six or seven years because it's just so hard, or just one term. And so one of the things our team has done, not because of that, but we just see it was a good idea, was to ask people to prayerfully commit to 12 years. Not short-term workers, but career missionaries. And our whole team, and we've grown a lot, but people commit to 12 years, really helps them get through to make a covenant, unless providentially hindered, with the lostness of Japan, second largest unreached people group in the world, hard ministry, hard language. We need to commit for a long time. And to commit for 12 years, unless providentially hindered, sickness or marriage or something, you know, but to really be serious about that, I think helps get people through those difficult times into fruitful ministry, because it does take time in Japan. The first year is the hardest, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, just when we cross the cultures and just we lose it with the familiar thing, and you know, just so when the stress comes, and we, our tendency is to congregate with the people who are very familiar, which we can share the, you know, just the cultures and, you know, foods and everything. And then we feel that, you know, just satisfied with the team, so we can just really, you know, just explore to the outside. And so, and so language learning also will be taken behind them. And so, yeah, yes, and spiritual warfare is another issue, and family dynamics it relate with this, you know, just the spiritual warfare. And not only just, I mean, it's a interpersonal skills things also, but spiritual warfare, wherever you come, you know, just like in Japan, why, you know, only 1% or number one, number two, the unreached people who's being categorized. It's a, you know, nobody aware of, but it's a strong place of this spiritual, you know, warfare is going on. And so that's a, maybe the big issues. And the spouse family relationship. Before you depart from your home, you know, just the thing that what you need to aware is you have to, you know, before you leave the home countries, you have to solve any issues in the family, between the spouses, because when you come across in the different culture setting, even the little, you know, just things come up, and then it's going to be serious issues to be grown. And so you have to come across culture, before the culture, cross culture, you know, just you have to take care of your personal issue and wear that time in the own culture setting. So spiritual warfare and interpersonal skills to build, and how to, you know, just those are very important. And do you have any comments?
Yeah, I have a question. Have you ever met a American missionary who made such an all-out attempt to be Japanese, he wound up hating his own culture? Have you ever come across that situation?
I really didn't get point.
The point, well, as I said, the American missionary, for example, is so determined to be Japanese, he hated his own American culture, and hated Americans. Did you ever come across that situation?
No, I myself, no.
I haven't either.
I have.
No.
Repeatedly. I was a former missionary, came across that repeatedly.
Really?
I mean, I don't say that you know, just the negative factors for your own culture to be that missionaries to Japan. But a month ago, I went to Korea and to do a different mission. I mean, purpose and I met the missionaries to Japan working in Hiroshima. They were just a short time that they were in Korea, and while we were having just a conversation, you know, the senior. They were the Asian accent, no, not the Asian accent, but the different organization, mission agency. There was a senior member who was taking care of, you know, this young couple. And so this senior couple says that, okay, Japanese do this, do that. You know, very strong stereotype. And so they were the one to enforce just a new mission to follow the same way. And so they were just really frustrated, you know, just, you know, to how to do it. It's a different question, but sometimes, you know, just a stereotype image about the Japan and try to be a Japanese and show themselves to be, you know, very familiar with the Japanese culture, but it's you know, it brings the negative side of that, and so it's a totally, you know, a little bit different things. But just sometimes, you know.
I think as a follow-on to what he was saying, it's important that anyone considering going on a career mission field would investigate the agency to ask what kind of member care do they provide, what kind of pre-field training do they provide. Don't walk right into one of these problem situations that you could have avoided if you do your homework ahead of time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, very, very important, you know, just the organization in which you belong, you know, what kind of a membership cares or training that they have, you know, what kind of, you know, it may be organization doesn't have their own, but they may have some good recommendations, you know. And for instance, in the Korean churches, Korean missions, lots of independent missions come to like the Philippines and Indonesia and in many countries in Asia. And I don't want to just make them down, but just, you know, lots of troubles to make. And, the, you know, troublemakers. Only here. No, it's recorded. But just, you know, many are. But, of course, very good trained and very effective ministries and the great leadership that they have making, we know. You know, just very different and extreme different. And for those who are making trouble, is just independent. By themselves come, and but for those who are coming from the agencies or mission agencies, having a training and so on, so that the member cares, and they are different. So most of them are different. I don't say no clear, but it's individual personal thing. But those are very important to be a part of. You know, just. Group or team, and then having receiving the good information and member care type of ministries. It's so cross culture training for us is most important. Is so the first and most obvious thing. Noticed when you arrive and amongst and new people is their behavior and what is done, you know, just what is done in the different culture in Japan, what is good or best, I mean, you know, what is good or best, values, what is a Japanese values, what is different cultures. You know, the value system different from your own. And what is true? So Japanese belief system, we have, you know, not according to the biblical stuff. We have maybe some Confucianism, you know, influence, and some other Buddhism, Shintoism, also to build up our belief system. And also what is real, that kind of a worldview, you know, just so in general, ideas in general, studies that we need to do. But when you come, the most important is we have to be, or you have to be, you know, be observant of the culture. You have to be best or good observer of the culture. And so maybe six listed. So this might be a very key, you know, factors, the missionaries or cross-cultural work, worker to be able to survive in, you know, in the, for instance, MTW to Japan, 12 years at least to survive. Okay. So be observant. Don't be quick to judge the culture. Don't assume. Be sensitive and careful. Be learners, not teachers. And then remember that non-verbal communication is powerful. Non-verbal communication, the sign, you know, just we have different way. You know, just not, we say, I mean, in Japan, yes, okay, yes. But maybe, you know, some culture, yes. Maybe, right? So, you know, that's a gesture, kind of. But also, you know, you see the faces difference. So, face, maybe. So, that's a non-verbal communication, meaning that many, 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 you know, ways. So, one of our weekly from the SIL in organization, Kenneth William is one of the person who developed the interpersonal training program in the organization, and he has been doing this, providing this program in different institutions also, and he said, trust is a foundation on every healthy relationship. Without trust, very little good can happen in a family or work or ministry or friendship. When trust is high, we communicate easily, effortlessly, instantly, and we can make mistakes, and otherwise others will still capture our meaning. That's a different person comment, but just, you know. So trust, building the trust and having a sense of the trustworthiness is very important in the, you know, it's circus even, but just in the cross-culture setting. And how we can develop this trust and how we can have such a good trustworthiness among us. Even we mistake, still we can, you know, just understand one another. And we get support. So if we have a trust among us, we are allowed to make a mistake. But if we have no trust, then, you know, it won't happen. So that's one of the very important factors, and trust, how important, how far environment of, you know, just trustworthiness. So, need to be 10 times more careful in other culture. So, you know, just when we go to or come across the culture, you know, just sometimes we have to shut our mouth and then be patient and to you know, open, before just open mouth to say something. And that's very important. So, so one of the my handout says how many more?
Let's see. 9 minutes.
9 minutes. Okay. Here in the handout, I can give you there is interpersonal skills. There's several comments of how the just the importance of the personal growth and how relate with God. How we can keep the relationship with God and then relationship with others and then relationship oneself, myself, or yourself. And just our relationship with God is the most important. And so in the cross-cultural settings and, just as when you were in the stress and stress is high, then sometimes we lose the management of our time and just, not quite time or, spiritual, training, we lose the time and also the concentration. So relationship with others is very important also. Those we endure in cross-cultural situations are always, almost always good at interdependence. So, one another, work accountabilities or, be friends, Bible study together, to prayer together. It's not only just such as spiritual ministries, but also, relax or, play golf. Or, I don't know, you can play golf in Japan, but it's getting a little reasonable. That's what I heard. but, something we need to find out. And also relationship with oneself. just a healthy person lives in right relationship to self. That means myself or yourself has to have a good spiritual, love. That means brings, if we can build up a good personal relationship with God and others, we can keep ourselves. So interdependence. So we have to have a friend. We have to have a good person to be a mentor or whatever we call it. As I mentioned here, the spiritual readiness and the spiritual warfare. So we are in the battlefield, and missionaries is the one to work in a different culture, cross-cultural worker. But we have a mission. We have a mission. Mission is to proclaim the gospels. We have these days not only just the people who do church planting, in many roles, people come to the different culture as a team. And different roles we have to play that God has given to us. Maybe English teacher or, community development specialist or, business as mission. So you have to be a businessman to be able to support other missionaries. Different roles in these days, and we can develop a different way of the East. Okay. So we really need to be aware of the roles, but we really need to avail such where we are kind of things we need to. And family dynamics I mentioned. And so that's family dynamics. Dysfunctional family, no openness, no trust. And, you know, just say you come as a mission and having a mission to proclaim the gospel. So you have, as Danson mentioned, just, I mean, the responsibilities, you know, just, I mean, the skills that you have to. But, you know, just as within the families or spouses, if it is a, because of the close, unfamiliar places, you know, if we are not able to solve the issues, then we raise the problem among, within the family and become the cause of the dysfunction. And so we see that lots of family missions, you know, just fail their mission, fail their missionary life because of the dysfunction. And so that's very important. And of course, language learning we mentioned. And so language learning and language acquisition, that you know, that's very important. But last, and so whatever we mentioned, or I mentioned, but attitude is here. Attitude is the most more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make break a company or church at home. So attitude. Attitudes change everything. And so for the missionaries, particularly who come, you know, cross-culture and intercultural ministries, that they are going to, you know, just keep good attitude. And, you know, just that's very important. Always, you know, just have, you know, just a great attitude. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past, or we cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is to play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. That is my conclusion of this time. And so, so this is my handout with several list of But if I mean, if you have any comments and questions, or very in the last moment, is there any which you can share?
I have a question. I kind of sense that you have gone to live cross-culturally in at least three different cultures, and then back to Japan again. Reverse, has it gotten easier over time as you've learned how to handle it? Has it gotten harder, easier, about the same to more cultures?
Yeah, I become a much like a banana type. And, you know, just down some become more like a boiled egg. So I'm yellow, but the inside has become a little white. Like a banana, and downside is you know, skin is white, but the inside is yellow. It become very Japanese, and so Japanese, and I don't say Western or American, but just, you know, easy to much easier to communicate, but just I sometimes forget about how to really, you know, just appropriate to use the word or appropriate way of, you know. Only help is I'm getting old, and, you know, so I'm allowed to make a fail even in Japanese because I'm a senior, right? In Japanese culture, the senior person is still, you know, even yeah. we fail, then they still accept us. So, if I'm young, I may not be accepted in many cases. Yeah. I don't know. Masami-san is also, I mean, been in, you know, just a, he also, he, his wife is American, and, but, you know, one time he studied in the States and he came back to Japan and finished college in Japan and come back and all different kinds of so how you manage yourself?
Yeah, that was one thing about thinking about the comment you made about the American missionary hating his own culture. I think that's an attitude thing that I remember when our kids were growing up, they had love and hate relationship in language. Sometimes they preferred Japanese and then they hated English, or if they loved English, they hated Japanese. You know, it's always one or the other. And I think it's very easy to do that with the culture too. Okay, I love Japanese, therefore I must deny American culture or whatever. But, you know, I tend to look at it. You don't have to decide which is better. They're just different.
Right, exactly. They're just different. They're not better or worse.
Yeah. Just different. And just to accept Japanese culture, you don't have to deny American culture either.
Right.
But it's so easy to for other people, just they have to choose one and deny the other.
Can you translate?
Good question. Some of the, as I'm starting out my journey, some of the missionaries that I respect the most and Christian leaders have, might be finishing up their career or something, but they've worked really well together in cooperation, you know, with other missionaries, with other groups, you know. And I was thinking about Michael Lowe, who's from our agency, just was appointed over the Luzon movement. And I just wondered if you could comment on, you know, Japan now moving forward, just speak to cooperation. What does it look like? Should we try to organize, you know, as we're starting out and going over there, should we make sure, okay, we're organizing prayer meetings together every now and then to try to make sure we're really saying, hey, we are prioritizing the gospel above our own individual distinctives as a group. And could you just comment on cooperation and what you've seen there in Japan? Some advice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I can respond to that, but just 2011, March 11th,
yeah.
Divided time, and it's just okay. In Jir, Japan has been called the graveyard, the missionary graveyard. You know, the many, some mission agency was drawing, you know, their members out before the March 11th. And the thing, what the difference is now, particularly in Tohoku, you know, just we see that kind of a world breakdown of the, you know, denominational the walls. And of course, we have our own, you know, just theological backgrounds or biblical backgrounds, but we come aware of that one goal, one purpose, and we are able to see the very, you know, beautiful unities at this moment, and particularly in Tohoku, Shinomaki, so Sendai, and up in north, and that's made other good effect, you know, good effect to the environment, and working together with the missionaries and Japanese local church, Christian leaders, and So, for instance, like a bleach global, every church in America, they also, you know, they were able to re-establish a relationship with the evangelical church in Japan, you know, evangelical e-free church in Japan. I mean, I don't say it was troubles or anything, but just, you know, they start to cooperate. And so it is now the time to be able to, you know, cooperate much wider. We have a difference. We are aware of the differences. But this is a time to be able to cooperate and work together for the one purpose, one goal. And it is allowed at this moment, in particular in Tohoku. If we can do this in particular, in Tohoku areas or southern area, it will be, you know, that way that we can influence the Japanese Christian movement. And so that's, I've been involved in the Christian Center project. And we would like to keep such a good, movement, and that people use those, you know. So I think one time or sometime, and just, you know, the cooperation as Japanese Christian, entire Christian, even JEA or something, but was not, I don't think that it was not functioning well. But because of this March 11th, have given us the last chance, I say my time, last chance, you know, just so we can work together. And God has given to us of the, great opportunity to do this. Amen.
In order to cooperate with our schedule, we need to transition now to the next event. So let's thank Takada-sensei for his seminar.